Lord, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning, we pray. Amen. From time to time, when Pat and I are planning a holiday, whether abroad or in the UK, we do two things. We look at where we want to go and pick a hotel. And when we've done that, we go onto a website called TripAdvisor. It's a place where people leave comments about hotels, what they liked, what they didn't. Some reviews are glowing, others not so much so. And in some ways, you take a lot of the comments with a pinch of salt. And it's always interesting to read the comments when we get back. One comment said the pool was quite cold. It was towards the end of November last year when they went, so therefore it probably was cold. Another said all-inclusive drinks were not great and watered down. Poor choice. Should be unbranded spirits available. Anybody who goes abroad all-inclusive knows that branded spirits are not included. And some of the ones that are included sometimes taste a bit like industrial alcohol with vanilla in it. And my daughter once heard someone in Turkey complain they couldn't get bacon for breakfast. But then they were in a Muslim country, which isn't surprising, really. Different people can experience the same place and yet come away with completely different conclusions. Sometimes we wonder why they even stayed in the same hotel. And in a way, that's exactly what we see in the events of Good Friday and Easter Day. These were the most pivotal moments in the Christian faith, yet people responded in very different ways. Today we go back to, I guess, Pentecost for the Acts reading, and very shortly after the resurrection of the St. John reading. The tomb was empty, but not everyone agreed on what that meant. The religious leaders had spread rumours. Maybe Jesus hadn't died. Maybe the disciples had stolen the body. The women who went to the tomb were astonished, but when the angel said, "He's not here, he's risen," they responded quickly and faithfully. The disciples, meanwhile, were hiding away, fearful, confused, not even believing the women at first. Even when Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw it empty, we're told they didn't understand. Then there were the two on the road to Emmaus, downcast, discouraged. Jesus walked alongside them, but they didn't recognise him. Only later did they understand, and then they rushed back to Jerusalem, full of excitement. Same event, same reality, completely different reactions. By the time we reach the evening of the first Easter day, the disciples are gathered behind locked doors. They're afraid. After all, Jesus has just been executed in what must be surely one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in history. And they must have wondered, are we next? Their hopes have been shattered. Their expectations of Jesus hadn't been fulfilled in the way they imagined. And then suddenly, Jesus is standing among them. And he says, "Peace be with you." Not just hello, not just don't worry, but may God give you every good gift, which is the meaning of peace be with you. In that moment, everything begins to change. Fear gives way to peace. Confusion begins to turn into understanding. And slowly they begin to realise death has not defeated Jesus. Jesus has defeated death. But one disciple wasn't there, Thomas. And Thomas has had a bad press over the years, known as Doubting Thomas. So let's think a bit more carefully about him. Thomas wasn't weak. He was actually very courageous. Earlier when going to Bethany, Thomas had said, "Let's also go that we may die with him." This is not a coward. This is someone deeply committed. But he was also realistic, perhaps even pessimistic. And now, after Jesus' death, he's broken-hearted. So what does he do? He withdraws. He isolates himself. He deals with his grief alone. And because of that, he misses Jesus. When the others tell him they've seen the Lord, Thomas refuses to pretend. He says, "Unless I see, unless I touch, I will not believe." And here's something important. Thomas is honest. He refuses to say what he doesn't believe. He refuses to pretend he understands when he doesn't. And that honesty matters, because doubt isn't the opposite of faith. Pretense is. A week later, the disciples are together again, and this time Thomas is with them. Then Jesus appears and he speaks directly to Thomas, repeating his very words. Jesus invited him to put your finger here, see my hand, see my side. Jesus meets Thomas exactly where he is, and Thomas responds with one of the greatest declarations in the whole of Scripture: my Lord and my God. No hesitation, no halfway faith, no more doubt. Thomas goes all in. So what can we learn? Thomas teaches us something vital. Yes, he doubted, but he also thought deeply, asked honestly, and when he was sure, committed completely. There's a Chinese proverb that says, with great doubts comes great understanding. With little doubts comes little understanding. We're going to sing a hymn in a minute, All to Jesus I Surrender. The theme here is that we need to surrender everything to Jesus. And I have to say that's something I find very hard, but it's something both Peter and Thomas did. There is, however, a warning in Thomas' story. When he struggled, he withdrew from fellowship. And there's also a danger for us. When life is difficult, we can shut ourselves away, avoid others, try to cope alone. But the truth is, we need each other. That's one of the hardest lessons from the COVID years. We missed being together. We missed encouragement. We missed fellowship. And yet when Thomas came back, when he was with the others, that's when he encountered Jesus. And we need to see the bigger picture. A few years ago, I did a 4-day driving course for St John Ambulance, which I needed to be able to drive their vehicles. And we were taught near, middle and far. That's basically, don't just look what's in front of the bonnet. Look ahead. Look at what's in the middle distance. And then as far as you can see, look at the bigger picture. The disciples were focused only on what was immediately in front of them, the cross, the suffering, the loss. But they couldn't yet see the bigger picture, the resurrection, the victory, the promise fulfilled. And we can be the same. There is the danger that we focus on what's right in front of us, our problems, our fears, our uncertainties. But God calls us to lift our eyes. In our reading from Acts, Peter, once confused, once afraid, is now standing boldly and declaring, God has raised Jesus from the dead and we are witnesses of it. What changed? The resurrection became real to him. The same Peter who hid and denied Jesus is now preaching. The same disciples who feared are now fearless. And Thomas? Tradition tells us he travels far, perhaps even to India, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. That doesn't sound like a doubter. That sounds like someone transformed. So what does the resurrection mean for you and for me? We're on the other side of the events. We can look back and see the empty tomb, the risen Christ, the changed lives of the disciples. But we still have questions. We will still have doubts. And that's okay. The challenge is this. Don't hide from them. Don't pretend. Don't withdraw. Instead, bring our doubts to Jesus. Stay connected with others. Keep seeking understanding. And hold firmly to what we do know. Christ is risen. He brings peace. He meets us where we are and he calls us to trust him. So different people saw the same event and came to the same conclusion, and others to different conclusions. But for those who stayed, who wrestled, who sought, who believed the resurrection, everything changed. So may we be like Thomas, honest in our questions, open in our seeking and wholehearted in our faith. And may we too be able to say, my Lord and my God. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you meet us where we are in our faith and in our doubts. Help us to trust you more each day, to stay close to you and to one another, and to hold on to the truth of your resurrection. Fill us with your peace and strengthen our faith to follow you wholeheartedly. Amen.